6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. So glad you could join us for this segment. Things get interesting by the minute, and of course our phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Hopefully you have some questions for Marjorie Wildcrap, because she is going to be joining us here in just a minute. We're talking about the GrowNetwork.org and how to grow lots of food in a grid-down situation. First, we've had a caller holding, Chance in West Virginia. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, Dave. Dave, I'm starting to smell monkey business about that monkey business. Could that be the debut of super-duper Valiant number 43?
Yeah, we just don't know about that. They've announced there's another variant out there, and I keep telling people it's all because of the fact that they put AIDS in the jabs, and so now they're spinning off all these viruses because HIV, which is a recombinant virus, that's 4% of the jab. We know this for a fact because Jean-Luc Montagnier, the guy that created it, he's actually seen it, seen evidence of it, and he says, I know what, they were talking about the 96%, I know what the other 4% is, it's HIV. It's AIDS, well, and it's Dave, in there. That's why it's spinning off the variants.
Dave, you know, I'm glad she didn't develop a craving for bananas. But unfortunately, what I did hear is she developed a strange habit of picking bugs out of other people's hair instead.
Really? Is that so? You send me a photo, would you? Chance, I'd love to see it. we'll post
okay,
it online.
Dave, have a great day now.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Chance. All right. Gotta love that. Picking bugs out of other people's hair. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? All right. Self-sufficiency. Marjorie Wildcraft is the founder of the Grow Network. She is in Central Texas raising two teenage kids and a husband, right? Other than being an online network or building one, being a mom, tending her family's food supply. I mean, this seriously is, skills from the Paleolithic era. Yes, part cave woman. Experimenting with everything, and we have been getting numerous emails from Marjorie since we started and we took her class. She has put out one in particular we're going to talk about here in a minute. But Marjorie Wildcraft, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me back on. So it's always a pleasure.
Yes, for sure. Well, 844-769-2944, because I know that, you know, somebody's out there thinking about the fact that maybe you've got some food shortages out there you're seeing, and you want to call in and tell us about it.
Yeah, please let us know what you're seeing, but it's real and it's happening. We just had a virus experience, and the narrative on that is starting to turn, because the next thing that's teed up, you know, quite frankly, is food shortages, inflation, and ultimately in some places famine.
Yeah, we're already seeing it in the grocery stores. Stuff is missing off the shelves, not to be replaced.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of those truckers in Canada. Man, my goodness. But, you know, they since they had the mask mandate or the vaccine mandate, like a bunch of produce is not going from the United States into Canada. And Canada is seeing a lot of shortages of produce on their grocery shelves. So I'm super curious to hear what some of the folks are seeing in their areas.
No doubt. 844-769-2944 is the number. And, you know, we were talking, and we've had guests on since you've been on last, Marjorie, talking about EMP, and you're talking about grid down, how grow lots of food in a grid down situation. And this is a thing. When EMP hits, if you are not prepared, because there is an EMP shield that we are promoting on the Power Hour and in the Power Mall, and all you have to use is the code TPH. When you click on that link, and you will get 15% off your purchase of one of these devices that you put on your electric panel. And they'll actually, there's a toll-free number you can call, and they'll talk your electrician through it to install it in the breaker panel to protect your entire house from being destroyed by an electromagnetic event. So, but, you know, when it happens, Marjorie, here's where you come in, because the self-sufficiency thing and how you cope with it afterwards, like the Amish do, and I always tell people, study the ways of the Amish. I have been to Pennsylvania Dutch country. I have seen it. They've learned to live without electricity. And see, I think you have too.
Yeah. You know, and it may not even be due to an EMP event. I mean, really, one of the things I've learned to do is start watching the scenarios that are done on these larger international levels. And one scenario that has been practiced many, many times with the National Guard and the Army and the other military forces is that of a grid down situation in the United States. You know, they're planning for it, you know, some sort of cyber attack or some sort of thing. Our infrastructure is so old, you know, and even last year, Texas, you know, just a winter storm. And there were a lot of people that went out without power for quite a few weeks. So it shuts things down really fast. Interesting, they were only like 4.5 minutes from the entire Texas grid going down, being completely down. And it takes months for them to come back up from what they call a cold start. So it doesn't even have to be an EMP. There's a lot of we're in really, really crazy times. We're in apocalyptic times, actually. It's like kind of hard to throw those big words around, but you know, we're breathing every day and the sun rises, and it kind of seems like it's going slow in some ways. But when you look at what's happened in just a few years, you're like, oh my God, this is really rapidly occurring.
No doubt. That's the one thing about what's happening in the world today. And people are concerned about a lot of things. They're concerned about privacy. And you just put out a how to take control of your online privacy newsletter. And, of course, you have an online class that you're doing tomorrow, I think. 5 ways to protect yourself from big tech, big brother, and thieves who spy on you without your consent.
Oh my God, it's just amazing what they know about you. I mean, you know, how many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of data points on everything you do, every search, every email, your location. But there are a lot of really simple things that you can do to, you know, start to shift away from that system. And so, yeah, I think everybody, you know, the Grow Network is founded on the principle of growing your own food, because really in any kind of a collapse scenario, eating is going to be the biggest issue. The next thing we focus on is medicine and home medicine, because that is the next biggest issue in any kind of a collapse situation is, you know, how do you get medicines or how do you take care of people? But we have so many issues facing us now. So, yeah, we're all about teaching people about how to be more secure online. Cryptos, that is going to be the new money. The U.S. dollar is going to collapse. It's going to happen. You know, and I think this year, actually, we're already starting to see inflation, and hyperinflation is not that far off. I've overlaid graphs of what happened in Weimar, Germany with the M1 money supply that the Federal Reserve puts out. And really, I predict we'll be seeing that in late spring, early summer, where it just starts to take off and prices are moving almost daily upward.
They are. I kind of, you know, when it comes to crypto, I think there's going to be a massive pushback. Russia is already saying they want nothing to do with cryptocurrency. They're going to protect their ruble no matter what. Putin has been all over the map on this thing, and he is so adamant about this moving forward. I think that anybody tries to promote crypto in that country, they're going to find themselves camping out in a gulag somewhere.
You know, there's been several governments and even the United States government to some. Gary Gensler over at the SEC is like, hey, we need to find a way to regulate this like it's a security, it's not a currency. And, you know, there's a lot of push because it's basically, you know, a system that they're not going to have control over. So there's definitely going to be pushback on it. And I'm not necessarily saying crypto is the only thing. I'm just saying that we do know that the U.S. dollar is going to die, and absolutely skills are going to be super important, knowing how to fix things, how to do things. Precious metals, absolutely, you know. Silver,
are you stocking up on junk silver?
Yes, I love junk silver. I've always loved junk silver. You know, why not, right? Everybody knows, everybody can recognize a dime and a quarter, right? And then pre-1964, it's easy to see it's actually currency that was minted by the U.S. government. You know, why not? To me, that seems like a lot better than a 1 ounce coin of silver that we don't know, you know, your average person doesn't have a lot of familiarity with. So I think it's a much better tradable item. But other tradable items.
I agree. Rather, more tradable than gold, you know. But then again, you have the vices, too. You got the vices. You got somebody that goes out there and they stock up and they keep a case of bourbon. They actually buy a 12-pack of bottles of bourbon, fifths of bourbon, and they keep that in their storage because there's somebody out there that's got a vice and they'd be willing to trade their handgun for a bottle of booze.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. I do stock up on some because it's also good medicine. But, you know, and but you can't beat alcohol. It's got like an infinite shelf life, right? You know, whiskey actually used to be almost the equivalent of money here in the United States, way back around the Revolutionary War time or prior to the Revolutionary War time, people traded whiskey. It was a commodity like money. So absolutely, food, tools, weapons, ammunition, all this stuff that you would think about for what you would need, you know, when or if when things collapse. So, you know, it's definitely time to stock up. I'm normally not a hoarder, but this is the time to do it. And now is the time to do it, and especially back up food supplies because we have not yet hit the hyperinflation ramp up. And if you wait until then, you're waiting. It's too late. The time is right now, and I think you can see it. I think everybody listening can see it, that the prices are going up steadily. And I think everybody here knows it ain't going to get better, right?
Yeah, and coupon shopping is not helping. You know, you can pick all the coupons you want. You're not going to save that much if prices are going up and up and up. So this is one of the reasons why you're talking about doing growing lots of food, learning how to be in a situation where you are basically self-sustaining. That's what you're doing right now.
You know, growing your own food is like printing your own money. Because really, I've done lots and lots of interviews with people who have lived through different collapse scenarios, whether it's a weather event or whether it's civil war or whether economic collapse. And then I've read tons and tons of historical accounts and even visited countries that have been through collapse. And while everybody talks about, you know, defense and medicine and all that, the biggest thing is they were starving. And the food is the biggest thing. So, you know, absolutely be stocking up on food, seeds, and especially the skills to grow food, because and growing your own food will be like, you know, printing your own. Maybe think about a dozen eggs, right? If you got a half a dozen chickens in the backyard laying eggs, you've got a source of income right there, you know.
You do. Then on top of that, 1,500 eggs a year. I remember from our last interview, you said six hens lay approximately 1,500 eggs a year. That is a lot of food for a family of four.
You've got a great memory, yeah. And for one person, it's three egg omelets every day, which is awesome, you know. So, yeah, so I recommend people start with six hens, and it's a good beginning. And then, of course, as you figure things out, you can expand from there. Chickens are one of the fastest and easiest food sources to get up and running. And there's lots of ways to be able to feed them for free. But I'd recommend in the beginning, especially now, chicken feed is still pretty cheap. So just build the coop, get the chickens in there. Worry about figuring out how to feed them for free later, you know. But get it up and going. We are headed into a hard time. And this is like a lot of the other stuff that we're participating in now, and I know you talk about this a lot on the show. This has been scenarioed. In 2015, Cargill, which is the largest private company on the planet that has their finger in just about every aspect of food production, processing, harvesting, distribution, everything, they scenarioed an event that would happen in 2020. Some event would happen in 2020, and then there would be this series of weather calamities, and global food production would drop because of this and that and the other, freezes or droughts or whatever, and food prices would go up by about 40% in the first year, and then every year after they would go up by about 100%, all the way to the end of the, you know, the whole decade of the 2020s, food prices would be at least at 400% above baseline. And we're there. Like, food prices have gone up by 40% in the last year. And they are going to double this year. There's just no doubt about it. But if you want to talk about hoarding, here's an interesting thing. China has bought up half of the world's grain supplies. Last year, they bought up half of all the corn, the wheat, and the soy, everything that gets that's produced on the planet. And if you're wondering why we're having a supply chain crisis, because there's all these grains in containers, because where do you store half of the world's grain supply, right? There are these containers all off of the ports around China. They, you know, you can't use those containers for shipping anything else. So it's totally insane. But if China's doing this, you know, it's definitely time for you to be thinking about doing it too.
It is. And the thing, Marjorie, that I, you know, look at is the ways and means to get this done, especially if you're in an area. We had a caller before you came on, Tom in Michigan, that lives in the big city. And a lot of people don't understand that you can do vertical gardening on the balcony of your apartment complex. I mean, there's so many different things you do. I'm looking personally at greenhouse, raised bed gardening. We have a lot of deer in our area that like to come and feast on stuff like that. Which my son, of course, he's one of these, turned into one of these mountain men, and he's got his own 8-year-old son that knows, that bagged his first deer with a 30-30, and they know how to gut and skin that thing right there on site and preserve it and make deer steaks. He's got several heads mounted in his house. So he is definitely living in a situation and is starting to stock up, knowing that this is happening. I mean, he's paying very close attention. And, you know, sadly, those who don't are going to find themselves without. And if they have a gun, my biggest fear is they're going to go out looking for food and they're going to take it by force.
I've done a lot of radio shows and I've had callers call in and say, I'm never going to grow food because I'm armed and I'm going to go take it from other people. Like, that is my strategy. Forget it. I'm not ever going to grow food. And I'm like, I know, right? Like, oh my God. By the way, and hunting is absolutely so funny. The CDC recently announced something about, please don't go hunting deer because you could possibly get COVID from it. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? That's the most idiotic thing, right? But in the Great Depression, I spent a lot of time in the Ozarks looking around there. That's a great location to be. But during the Great Depression, they wiped out almost every single, they wiped out the deer population entirely. And it wasn't until way after World War II that they were able to bring more deer in there and build back up the deer herds. But, you know, yeah, absolutely having the skills to hunt, and that will certainly help you out. But pretty quickly, a lot of the game is gonna be gone fairly quickly. Those are definitely good skills to have and definitely good to get bag those deer now and freeze them and dry them and can them. And, you know, that's a great way to stock up on food.
I know a lot of people though, Marjorie, they don't want to kill Bambi. You know, they'd rather starve than kill something like that. You know, this is what they are. And my wife is not a big fan of deer meat, but there are ways of preparing these things. I know because I've had deer steak that we marinated and beat the living daylights out of and got it tenderized enough to where it cooked, and we cooked it on open flame at a scout. I took my two sons on a scouting event on a camp out and one of these jamborees that the scouts hold, and we threw a deer steak on open flame, and the scout masters from all over, from troops all over, were the scent just traveled and they were all flocking. Is that deer steak? It's like, okay. So you start, I would think, and I don't know, is if you're in an area, and you have a lot of large acreage, it would seem like the cost to fence this up to keep people out might be a little astronomical.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with that?
It would be. Yeah, well, that is, you know, that's not realistic. And, you know, you really would need a huge amount of area if you really want to contain a deer herd. Honestly, that's why I recommend people raise rabbits in their backyard as a food source. Also, because, you know, a deer is a big chunk of meat, and handling a deer is a lot of work, and then it's a lot of work right away. You know, you got to process all that meat before it deteriorates or whatever. Whereas rabbits, you know, you process one rabbit, and that's, you know, the meal for the family for that day and maybe soup for the next day. It's small, it's quick, it's easy, right? You don't need any refrigeration. Home rabbitry with like one buck and three breeding does, you know, I have to do the equivalency on that. I haven't done it in a while, but it's about the same as a beef, you know, getting a whole cow. When you add up over the year how much meat you're actually, how many pounds of meat you're actually producing, but it comes in small sizes, so it's actually doable by a family.
No doubt. Does it taste like chicken?
It actually does. There's many times I've fed rabbit to people and forgot to tell them, and they just assumed it was chicken. So, you know, almost all your recipes that you cook chicken with, you know, roasting it, stir frying it, enchiladas, you know, stews, you can use rabbit interchangeably. It's the same thing. And then, of course, you know, one thing that we don't do a lot, because when we buy meat from the grocery store, it's already like meat and sliced up for you in cellophane, but you get the bones and you can make bone broth and you get the organs, and because you fed them yourself, you know that those organs are clean, and organ meat, unbelievably nutritious. I mean, I'm not saying anybody is necessarily a fan of eating liver, but when you look at the nutritional content of it, you'll understand why peoples all over the planet throughout history truly, truly, truly valued the livers of animals, as well as all the other organ meat, way over the muscle. The muscle was usually like the least desirable part of the animal. It was the organs and the fat. And a lot of times the bone marrow, which was considered the most valuable parts of the animal.
That is amazing. And we're getting ready to come up to the break right now. 844-769-2944 is the number to call. Now, I'm sure that we have your curiosity up, folks. Marjorie Wildcraft is back on our show again for the second time in my tenure. TheGrowNetwork.org is the name of her website. She is doing workshops and seminars, and she will be here to answer your questions after the break. Stay with us.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text powerhour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those heart drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Did you sign up for our email newsletter yet? You can do that online, thepowerhour.com. You can get our email blast, which has all sorts of links and news stories and, of course, our broadcast archives right there for you to listen to in case you missed something or you want to go back and get a little clarification on things. The website is thegrownetwork.com. TheGrowNetwork.com. We have Marjorie Wildcraft on the show. And, you know, during the break, Marjorie was talking about, you know, before we went to break, about having a rabbiton and being able to raise and slaughter your own rabbits. And, you know, like I said during the break, you know, my wife is a little squeamish about killing those things. And Marjorie came up with a solution. You're ready
nobody,
for this.
nobody likes butchering rabbits. Nobody. Or if they do, you really don't want them in your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, really, I procrastinate on that a lot. You know, actually, when we were raising rabbits, my daughter loved the little babies, and she would play with them and teach them how to jump, which I thought was completely unnecessary. But you know, when you're a little girl, and then she was very, very aware of the whole process, and you know, she participated in the butchering, so she knew the whole thing. And we definitely love them. We definitely did. As another friend of mine says, you know, they have just a fantastic life and then one bad day, right? But if you are not, and absolutely, I get it. Like, you know, it took me a long time. Actually, when I first, the first thing that I was going to butcher, I can tell you this story. It's kind of funny, but I would fast sometimes for several days before butchering because I just wanted to really be in touch with the reason why I was doing it, and hunger is a very, very good reason why, right? I don't need to do that anymore, but I also still don't really enjoy butchering. But what happened was, we were living out on the land, and we had some turkeys, and big turkey toms, and woo-hoo! If you ever run turkeys, they're just always, like, laughing at you and having a good time. And my daughter was about two at the time, and she would love to, you know, two-year-olds, so they'll squat down, and she's pecking around in the dirt, looking at different little bugs and things. And the turkey toms thought that she was in a mating position, and these big turkey toms always wanted to mate with her. And it was getting to where she couldn't go outside, because these turkey toms would head right for her. And finally, it just got to be so bad, I said, that's it. We can't have these turkey toms. And I, oh, my God, I said, we got to end this, you know, and we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner right now. So anyway, that
yeah,
was,
you got to tell her. Was, yeah, you got to tell her, Marjorie, sorry, honey, but you can't bend over and imitate a turkey.
A hen, you know, a hen sits down and kind of puts her butt up in the air, and that the toms are,
sure.
You know, they're like, well, you know, yeah, like that's what she's doing. And you know, so anyway, but really the way to do it is just like we were talking about before. I'm sure that there's a hunter in your life, a deer hunter or fisherman or something like that, that understands butchering. And like I said, nobody really enjoys it. And if they do, you really don't want that person in your life, but they know and understand how to do it. And so, you know, you raise a litter of rabbits and you've got 10 rabbits and you say, look, here's 10 rabbits. You know, you process them all and keep one or two or whatever you negotiate, and then give me back the other 8 or 9 and work it out. I mean, that's I'm a huge, huge proponent of having community around you, and that's a great example of why you want to have community. I mean, you can't know everything. If you get a laceration on your leg, you know, how are you going to treat that? Well, hopefully somebody in your community knows how to do that and has the supplies to do that and, you know, can do that, right? You know, knows how to clean a wound and sew it up and treat it.
Yeah, that would be me.
How do you fix that electric fence thing, you know, like, you know, how do you connect this up, you know, or how do you get that plumbing thing going, you know, how do you get the, you know, this is leaking, how do I think, you know, all those kind of things, all these skills, right? That's what we need community for. The biggest myth of survivalism is the lone survivor, you know, heading out. They're going to survive it all by themselves out in the hills, right, or wherever.
Yeah, I don't see it. You know, being a lone wolf is one of the things that we've been promoting is not going to work for most people. Because you're right about that. You do need community there. The callers are starting to trickle in here. David in Iowa, you're on the phone with Marjorie Wildcraft. What's your question?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about eating rabbits. You're not supposed to eat rabbits, and you're not supposed to eat pigs. Leviticus 11 is right in the law.
What say you to that, Marjorie?
Well, I have to say that indigenous peoples over the planet for all of our history have eaten rabbits and lived off of rabbits, and I don't know about that particular law. So it's a good food source. That's what
it's in the Old Testament. I know where David is getting this, and it is in the Old Testament. Most of my biblical training, the Old Testament was for our learning. The New Testament was for our application. And again, like I say, this is something that each person, if you're put in a survival situation, is going to have to wrestle with.
Yeah, there's a lot we're going to have to wrestle with. And, you know, there's a lot of things that all of us are going to have to adjust to as this situation continues to evolve and change. And especially around the food supply, there's a lot of idealism. There's a lot of people who really don't even know what real work is. There's a lot of things that are going to change. So, if you can stick to that law and that's your part of your beliefs, you know, more power to you. Honestly, I found that.
So are you a vegetarian, David? Are you a vegetarian? Did we lose him? Okay. All right. So we lost David in Iowa. So go ahead, Marjorie, you were saying.
You know, I think some of those laws, from my brief understanding of that history, is like, for example, pork. You know, pork would deteriorate really, really, really quickly in a hot climate. So I can understand why they may have made a law against eating that, right? I guess, too, you know, you just, it's more for your own safety. Anyway, we're all about to head into some really big changes, and a lot of major belief systems and idealisms that we've had will have to be adjusted to deal with the circumstances. So the last real big push for rabbits actually was in the 70s, and I don't know if you remember the 1970s, but that was a insane decade. Like, Nixon took us off the gold standard. We had this stagflation where the prices of everything was going up, but you know, nobody was able to have income, and I don't know if you remember, some people who had houses were trying to buy a house. You had like a 15% to 18% interest rate on the mortgage. There were some terrorists that shot up. Yeah, there were some terrorists that shot up athletes at the Olympics. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff. I remember my mom, you know, like, you'd get a 5-gallon thing of gas, you had to wait in a line that went all the way around the block. So that was a big time when people were going, hey, this is a wake-up call. And that's, I think, the last big revival we had for rabbits, because it's such a practical animal to grow in a backyard that produces so much. A buck and 3 breeding does can produce 75 to 80 rabbits a year in a very humane way. And that's, you know, that's equivalent of having like a chicken and a half every week, which is a pretty good, decent amount of food.
No doubt. Now let's talk about the other thing, investing in a greenhouse and the growing situation there. You pretty much, if you have a greenhouse, my understanding was, if you build the thing right, you should be able to sustain growing herbs and vegetables 365 days a year. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and I would say that you need a greenhouse. I've lived and traveled to climates everywhere, and I was astonished, even in, like, Costa Rica, you need a greenhouse. And over there, they needed it to keep the rain off, because they had, like, 90 inches of rain every year, and there was too much water. So they built a greenhouse to cover the plants so they didn't drown. So you need a greenhouse for different reasons in all these climates. And, yeah, especially in the northern climates, it really does help you get through the winter so you can have fresh greens and fresh produce in the wintertime. Absolutely, it's a huge asset. Plus, you can get your starts going earlier. Like, for example, you can't grow tomatoes in Colorado unless you have a greenhouse, because you have to get them started indoors. You could never plant them outdoors and have them reach maturity before the season ended. So, yeah, absolutely, a greenhouse is super important for everybody.
Now, as far as when you first get these things, I know that there are very small greenhouses, and I'm like, how in Hades can you even do, I mean, you could do maybe a couple of vertical gardens in there. There's not a whole lot that I see, unless you have something fairly substantive to feed your family with. If you have a family of four, the greenhouse needs to be a little bit bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Although I've run a small greenhouse, and a small greenhouse, it's harder to kind of keep the temperature up in the wintertime, you know, so actually a little bit bigger
right.
Greenhouse, especially if it's submerged in the earth, it's going to be easier to keep warm. But I've used small greenhouses in some areas that I've lived, primarily to get those seeds started and the vegetable starts going before the growing season, right? So you, for example, in Texas, you'd have a small greenhouse to get the tomatoes going, the peppers, the summer crops going in the greenhouse before you would plant them out, usually in mid-April. So I always try to get it early. I put it out in March, and then there'd be some late freeze that would nab me every time. You'd think, God, I've still got some in the greenhouse, right?
Yep. Okay, Esther. Yeah. Esther, are you Esther from Washington?
Yes, I am.
How are you, dear? Welcome back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Today's a good day. We've only got one more month before this winter's gone, and spring is coming, and it just feels like a really good day today. Well, I just heard a really nice joke on the Spokane Perspective this morning, and it actually has to do with hunting and Bambi. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would.
Yes,
we always.
Hear,
we always. Yeah. I love it when the audience brings their own material. Esther, go for it.
Okay. So there's a little boy, and he was raised by a dad that taught him how to hunt, and, you know, and he's only about 6, 7 years old. And his mom, being a good mom, decided, okay, we're going to take you to the movie Bambi. And so off they go. And just at that moment when the horrible thing happens to the mom and the audience starts to gasp, the little boy shouts out, "Good shot."
That's a good one.
All right. Well, you two have a wonderful day. All right. We live
Thank
on
you,
this
Esther.
Awesome,
Appreciate
awesome
that.
Planet Earth. Let's just be thankful.
Yes, we always try to be. We appreciate that. Tom in Michigan, you're on with Marjorie Wildcraft. Thanks for calling back in. What say you?
Well, you were talking earlier about, you know, eating rabbits or pork or different things. And, you know, there, I've heard several places talking, I think it was an FBI report, estimates that 2 or 3 weeks in a city without food and people are going to be eating each other. So, I mean, I don't think I get that hungry to eat long pork, but... you know, I still have a big blue barrel full of wheat from Y2K. I don't think it's any good. I'm planning on burning it out in my garden for compost. But, you know, I'm not going through that again. I'm planning on just being hungry. And, you know, one of the things, hello? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you stored that wheat, if it were kept cool and dry, it would probably still be viable. I mean, there's wheat that has been stored. The ideal conditions actually end up being like those tombs in Egypt, where it's cool and dark and dry, and they've had wheat that was viable thousands of years later that they actually were able to sprout and grow. And if it's not viable for human consumption, if you're like, oh, this doesn't work, chickens, it's a great chicken feed. And then, of course, yes, absolutely, compost is a good thing. I'm not a big fan of grains, personally. It's not normally a part of my diet, but they are such condensed calories, and they're so inexpensive right now, that and beans. And I agree with you. I mean, I've thrown out some pails of beans that they only last for about 5 years before they harden up, and then they're not real good to eat. And I've been through some. I see it as a form of, I mean, how much money do you spend on insurance that you never use, right? I see it as a form of insurance that you know, I've got this and I may not use it, but I know I'm covered.
There you go. Tom in Michigan, thanks for your call. We got other callers holding. Sherry in Kansas, how are you?
Hi. Okay.
You have a question for Marjorie?
Yes, I do. Marjorie, do you know of anyone who sells a geodesic dome greenhouse kit? Oh, you know, there's a group in Colorado. They're near Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And I think if you Google, like, Pagosa Springs, Colorado geodesic dome, they have always done that. And there used to be a vendor at the Mother Earth News Fairs that had a geodesic dome kit. So you may just want to look on the Mother Earth News website and look at vendors for the last fair. Or if you get to go to one of those fairs, it's a huge... I don't know if they're doing them in person or not yet again, but, oh, my God, I love Mother Earth News Fairs.
I know in the past they've had those in Topeka. Do you know if they still have them there?
I think they do, yeah. You know, it depends on each state. You know, like some states are still super... lockdown, paranoid, weird, and then other states are like, yeah, let's party.
Well, we've got a Democratic governor this year, so.
Yeah.
But maybe not for long.
We're all trying.
I think the reason I'm leaning towards that is because of the structural integrity of geodesic domes, and, you know, because we have these old silos here in Kansas, and there's lots of old silos on old farmsteads, and I believe it's because of a round structure. There's not a big flat side for the wind to hit. You know, yeah. And that's why they're still there, even if they're not used. So,
yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, the wind just goes around it. Yeah.
All right,
I find
thanks.
It interesting,
bye.
Though, Sherry. I appreciate that. I find it interesting about those silos is the fact that they are dark and the fact that they could be kept cool with very little effort would make great storage places, especially if you found one that you could take and, you know, dig a pit in the ground at least a few feet deep and get that thing submerged. It would almost, to me, Marjorie, act like a root cellar, would it not?
Yeah, I think so. The other thing you're going to want is a couple of good cats.
Well,
and anytime you got grain, you're going to have rodents. So, yeah, but a couple of cats will solve that problem.
Yeah, they will.
The problem with these is that they're real hard to put a roof back on. Most of them you see have the roofs off, you know.
Oh,
they've been there
off,
so long.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. Well, it's food for thought. Oh, that's a tongue-in-cheek, I guess. All right. Well, I appreciate your call, Sherry. Thanks so much. Marjorie, the grownetwork.com, is this a new website that you've just launched?
No, actually, the Grow Network has been in existence in one form or another since 2009. So we've been around, I guess this is our 13th year. And it was about 20 years ago that I had a major wake-up call that, like, oh, my God, there's hardly any food being grown locally. And if any, and we have a just-in-time trucking system with only about 4 days' worth of food in the grocery store. This was true 20 years ago. It's true today. And I just said, oh, my God. I can foresee that at some point in time we're going to have a major crisis. And I actually was a very successful real estate investor back at the time, and I had a very successful business. And I folded the whole thing up and said, look, I've got to focus on how do we grow food and how is the fastest and easiest way to take somebody who knows nothing, maybe they're older, maybe they're out of shape, how do we get them growing food even in a grid-down situation? Because that's a, you know, I mean, really, it's not rocket science. This whole world we live in is, it seems so robust, but it's actually extraordinarily fragile. So,
right. And you have a seminar coming up, a webinar that you're doing online. When is that?
You know, we're having that in early March. We were going to do it next week, and we've decided to move that back one more month. And it's all about how you can grow food. And if you head over to growyourowngroceries.com, you can sign up for that. Or I'm not sure if the Power Hour has their own URL for that now. But yeah,
well, if we have your link, we can always put it on the website, growyourowngroceries.com, and you can go on there. We'll put a link on that because obviously our producers are very attentive to the show and they listen to what we're saying. And normally that stuff just surprises me. It ends up on their email blasts. And for those that that subscribe to the email blast, you're probably going to see that link on there because I just made Catherine and the crew over there aware of it. And so this is one of the things that, you know, information sharing is so vital in this day and age, especially with the
sure
situation, with the way the situation is these days, food prices going up. And it's like you never can get these things, you know, boots on the ground situation done or started up soon enough. And I know that a lot of people have been procrastinating these things. Well, we'll wait until this gets done or wait till that gets done. You know, the thing is that how much food would you say? Cause people out there that have been, especially your preppers, they've got a year or better of this freeze dried food. But the problem is a lot of this stuff that I'm not, you know, picking on the Patriot websites that sell these things by the crate and the case and, sell generators and things like that. I'm not picking on them here when I say that a lot of the product that is on here, and I like the fruits that you can actually dehydrate or eat the banana chips. You know, they have all of these things and they're really good, but there's a lot of stuff there that is grain based. A lot of this stuff is pasta based. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to sit with the diet.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheap carbohydrates that get put into those, and you know, I got it. And I try not to store those as much as possible. I do store some whole grains, and I try to get the older, like the triticale or the buckwheat or, you know, oats or some other ones that are not as, you know, wheat is really, really tough for a lot of people in the digestive systems now because of the way they've been overbred. I definitely am a big fan of getting getting some backup food supplies, absolutely. I like to buy them in the, you know, the five-gallon bucket where they've put the oxygen absorbers in it and you're buying a whole grain or you're buying whole beans or you're buying, you know, whole foods. And even though those, as I said, they're not a regular part of my diet right now, for me it's like an insurance policy, right? Could the food supply completely collapse in just a short period? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Walmart, for that. You know, the JIT thing I've always said was going to be a big problem because they only have 72 hours worth of stuff on the shelves, and in a situation with the grid down, I mean, people are going to resort to looting, and they're going to go to the stores, they're going to smash the windows, they're going to go in and they're just going to take, and they're going to wheel it out by the grocery load, by the cart load, and people are going to be fighting with them as they leave the store to try to seize their food, and it's going to be a bloodbath at the grocery store, you know, for people that actually can get there. That's going to be a real serious problem to me, and the inner city's even worse.
We saw that to some extent during the lockdowns, and then the whole access to social media and the flash mobs adds a whole nother level of intensity and speed to this thing. You definitely don't want to get caught up in that, and really it could all vaporize any just within a very short period of time. So stock up some stuff. And I agree with you, a lot of the freeze-dried stuff in there, oh, my God, the last thing you ever want to do is buy an MRE. Those things are awful.
Oh, no, the military loves those things. They feed off of those things. Anyway, well, Marjorie, it's been wonderful having you on. Once again, if you go to thegrownetwork.com, and we will put up growyourowngroceries.com on the link on the website for you, those of you getting the email blast. We thank you so much again for being on the Power Hour. We are out of time, unfortunately, but we thank you for showing up and giving us a little bit more education and taking the calls. Callers, we thank you for chiming in. It's wonderful that you, you bring your own material. We like the jokes. Thank you, Esther, for that. Good shot. Anyway, so we're going to keep in line, keep in mind what's going on. ThePowerHour.com is over and done with once again. We will be back tomorrow. More great guests, including Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, gubernatorial candidate for Texas, Dave Krieger with you. God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.